turn with me to the passage read earlier. Our text is verse 34. You've been looking at these last few weeks, the cross of Christ, and you've had lots of different folks come in. But I wonder if you remember, I want you all to think, do you remember this story, this incident that took place all those years back? Now, it says, do you remember? Put your hand up if you do remember that. Some of you there, very sad. Gordon Wilson, let's have a look at that, because it's a point where you get to a situation where you think, what is it all about? I shall read the first line. I know it's up there. 1987, Gordon Wilson and his daughter Marie, she was only 20, were buried on the rubble after an IRA attack during the Enniskillen bombing. It then goes on because it says, tragically, his daughter later died from her injuries. While still in hospital, Gordon publicly responded with extraordinary forgiveness. He said he held no bitterness and would pray for those responsible for the attack. Let me pause there a moment. He held no bitterness and would pray for those responsible for the attack. I don't know about you, but I would struggle to forgive in one time. Maybe years later, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll change, I don't know. I'd find it hard. But it doesn't finish there, because it goes on just a little bit more. Rather than calling for revenge, he spoke about peace and reconciliation, deeply influencing public opinion at the time. Gordon was a Christian, and his response was rooted in his faith. His words became one of the most widely cited examples of forgiveness during the conflict and helped shift conversations away from violence. Why did I read that? Well, I read that because our text, please look at our text, Luke 23, verse 34, and we know we've been looking at the seven saints from the cross from our Lord, and I'm going to do my best. I'm not going to try and do any sort of recap or whatever, and if I say something that someone else have said, well, praise God, but we don't want to duplicate too much. But our text will want to keep to this bit where it says, Father, forgive them. And it's not a theme or something that I would want to feel or at this time as we look at it, because if you look, let's look at verse 33 and 34. Okay, it starts off with verse 33. And when they came to the place that is called the skull. Well, that in itself must tell you something, because you think, where we're going? Well, we're going off to the skull. It doesn't sound very nice. What's a skull? We read it often in Scripture. What is it? Okay, I won't embarrass you and ask you to tell me, but it's a place of death. It's a place of crucifixion. It's a place just outside Jerusalem where people were dealt the severest of blows. It wasn't a very nice place. And here was our Lord. You know the story that we had, it's Palm Sunday today, but you know how so much they were praising the Lord and the next minute they were cursing and swearing. Maybe just like some of us. We're fickle, aren't we, people? I am, you are. And we can't pretend, we change. So are these people. Boy, I'm going to knock everything down and... So, yeah, they weren't the fiddle. Until in the end, so place of a skull, we know what that was like, not very nice, awful. And we find on the verse 34 again, let's just read on. And Jesus, sorry, verse 33, and when he came to the place of a skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, and we got it up there, Father, forgive them. What are we going to do this morning? Some of you making notes. four things. Don't want you, when I say 4 points, not three, I don't want you to start looking at your watch, thinking your roast beef or whatever you've got's going to get burnt. Four things we're going to look at. And if you all look as if you're interested, I'll only be a few minutes, literally. But if you look bored, I'll be a couple of hours. Okay. And then that be it for the lot. I'll never be back again. Praise God. Anyway, four things. They're the four things. The cry of forgiveness. The compassion of forgiveness. The call to forgiveness. And the cost of forgiveness. They're the four things. I don't think I've ever spent so long on a sermon for a while, well over a week, and it's not drawn attention. Because I was moved. I think, is this my God? Yes, we're being loved by God. And the danger is we think, oh, it's Easter and, you know, we've got to be careful that we don't just go, oh, I know the story and so on. Dear Christian, if you're a child of God, we need to be moved by all this. The wonder of God's love. Isn't it tremendous, isn't it, Rod and Liz? We're amazed. And Simon, what a God. It's only the names I can remember. If I can remember your name, I'll shout it out. Okay. Amazing. Emma, I can remember your name. And Danny and, yeah. Nora, yes, all of you. Whoever. Sorry if I missed you out. Simon's mom, you've genned me up on him. Yeah, I know. Thank you very much. But what a God we've got. So let's have a look. Let's see how we go. Point number one. Forgiveness. Father, forgive them. And this was despite all that was going on. I wonder what are we carrying in our hearts. Let me just turn it back to you for a moment. I wonder what we're like in terms of forgiving others. You know, when we feel we've been wronged, when we feel we've been misunderstood, put your hand up if you've been misunderstood. Come on, hands up, hands, feet. We'll put everything up. Because we've been misunderstood. When we feel we've got to get revenge, be careful. We need to look at our Lord, the supreme example. He didn't deserve to die. He lived a perfect life. He was with his disciples, started his ministry at the age of 30 for 3 years. Many followed, others betrayed, others didn't want to know. So this forgiveness that we're talking about, first thing, subheading, it was a heartfelt plea arising from pain. Do you know, when you're struggling, when you're going through it, when someone's really had a go at you, you don't want to forgive, you don't feel that sense of forgiving them because you're going through it. It makes you feel worse. Why? Because you're struggling. Who forgives when you're in the heat of pain? You don't. It makes you angry. Well, it makes me angry. I don't know about you. It does. Of course it does. God, I can move around. What a God. What a God we have. So a heartfelt plea arising from the Lord's pain. Never forget that. So whatever you're carrying, whatever bitterness, and bitterness sometimes, when rooted, it could take over, can't it? And we find we're not the person we used to be. Be careful. And all this I'm saying to myself as well, because we know once revenge, once our hearts feel, you know, oh, got to get my own back. What else can we say? These are straightforward comments. These are here to help us. Jesus was crying out to his heavenly Father to forgive the people. Yeah, I'm going to be repetitive because you're going to hear forgive, 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 and you're going to go out there and say, forgive. And are we those who have really placed our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus? If you're a visitor this morning, great to see you. Come back. We'd love to see you. Don't want to embarrass Tyler too much, but great. We had a good chat. Good to see you. Good place. Keep coming, Tyler. They're good people here. Keep away from Rod and Simon, but you'll be all right. They're good. All right. So we see here, Jesus was crying out to his heavenly Father, despite what was going on. And I love this, thirdly. I want everyone to remember this. Whatever hurt you're feeling this morning, However bad you feel, take your hurt to who? Who must we take our hurt to? Take it to who? Could hear it, damp squib. Who?
God.
Amen. Praise God. If you're a visitor, do come back again. It's not always like this. Okay. We take it to God. Why? Because we've got a God who knows us, he loves us, and you know what? He cares for us. Doesn't he? Want to look at everybody in the eyes. Liz, I'm looking at you. Hey, he loves us. People, what a God. Don't let that hurt and that bitterness take over, because it can. We've got to watch it. So that's the first. I could say so much more. I thought, I'm not going to bombard you with loads of scriptures. I'm not. I'm going to quote scripture. We're going to be biblical, but we're going to be as straightforward as we can, so that people walk out here, realize what a God I've got. I want to love him more. What else can we say? The cry of forgiveness. But then secondly, I told you there weren't long points. I want you to notice secondly, the compassion of forgiveness. What compassion Jesus showed. Sometimes it can be really hard, can't it, to show compassion. Really hard. Some of you know I've not long come back. I had to make quite probably one of the, a very difficult trip actually. I went to Jamaica about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Sadly, when the hurricane came the back end of last year, you hear all about it in the news, don't you? And then suddenly it's all stopped and people think everything's hunky-dory, whatever hunky-dory is. It's back to normal and fine. But, you know, it was incredible just being back. And the purpose of my visit was to go back, provide support and loads of other things. But the church that I used to worship at, and I was saying this to Walton a couple of months back, the church I used to worship at, completely blown down. All left just concrete. And, you know, it was tough. And people in some areas, more the country areas, completely displaced, lost home and everything. And it was pretty tough. But people are getting back to normal now. Bit by bit, things are getting on. Houses, they're finding houses. And the church, the building started. I said to my wife when I got back, I said, can I go back to Jamaica to go and help them build? She said, you wouldn't last a day. You'd be out, like you're out in the garden for a few hours and that's it for the day. You can't be building. But you know, that's how I felt. I want God's house to be built and get back. And it's hard. It was hard. So whatever we're going through, and whatever things we feel is so hard, let's try and be like the Lord, showing incredible compassion, even when the going gets tough. Because Jesus says here, if you look in our text, look at verse 34 again. Verse 34, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Why? For they know not what they do. Ignorance. I'm finding it today, the ignorance of people. Why should I believe? And when I'm hoping to be involved in the park work this coming summer, some of you know I work amongst young people and those whose lives are completely messed up. Some are homeless, some are just booze, drugs and sex in that order. And their lives are messed up. And we're trying to get alongside some of these folks to make them see that actually, you know, you are loved and you are messed up, but, you know, we're not going to blaze at them with our evangelical 45s. We're going to go in and love them in, don't we? We want to love people in as much as we're able. And it's an incredible privilege to get alongside some of them. And here we have our Lord says, forgive them because of their ignorance. They know not what they do. And even on the cross, we could see firstly, Jesus, what? Shows what? Can someone read that for me? Jesus shows. It's all right, you can read it all out. Don't be afraid, read. Amen. Even amongst his enemies, he showed understanding. Jesus chose forgiveness. Yeah, in the worst moment. Absolutely worst moment. And eventually you'll find, yes, on that cross, we know there was darkness for over 3 hours. when actually it should have been bright sunshine. Midday, there was darkness. And the awfulness of God turning his back upon his son. Why? Because your sin and my sin, get a bit emotional now, your sin and my was all laid on him. Laid on him. And yet, even though it was laid on him, he had a forgiving spirit. If you're not a Christian this morning, what is stopping you from giving your life to Jesus? What? What's stopping you? Don't live for the world. Because actually, ultimately, there's nothing lasting in the world. Oh yeah, you'll get the bright light and you can boogaloo away that I used to do years ago. Yee-hoo, isn't it great? But then you suddenly realize, actually, there's more to life than boogalooing and having a good time. You don't use those words, these are boogalooing. You see, I'm old. But to see my friend, before I became a Christian, 16 years old, to see my friend, see the, as soon as he got paid, it was a boot, it was a drink, and then the next day, excuse me, vomiting out everything. And then I thought, is this life? Is this really life? And the answer was, no, it's not life. You're kidding yourself. Until I found life in Jesus. Oh, to see this morning what compassion Jesus showed here. And he can show it to you and me as we see next. Forgiveness flows from compassion. Luke chapter 19, verse 41. If you turn to that, here was our Lord. He was going, walking towards Jerusalem, as we heard. Palm Sunday, walking towards Jerusalem. And he saw the people in sin and the awfulness that was going on. And do you know what? Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Can I just ask a question? When last did you weep over your sin? When last did you weep even over someone who's not a Christian? It's not old-fashioned to weep. Sometimes there's a sense where we have to weep and we cry out to God. But the danger is, you know, we're getting it too easy. We're taking it. We got used to things. We just carry on as normal. Sin is awful against a holy God. And sadly, we're forgetting how holy God is. God is so holy, he'll have nothing to do with sin. Don't play with sin. If you're playing with sin this morning, stop it. Because it could, ultimately, you could end up in hell without God. Be careful. Don't play with it. And if you say you're a Christian and you're still dabbling and messing around, well, actually, I'd really question, do you really know and love the Lord? Because when you know and love the Lord and you sin, you know it. It's like an arrow, doesn't it? It hits you. It really does. It hits you. And you want to serve him, don't you? Praise God. Forgiveness flows from compassion. Just like our Lord, he wept. He wept. And we want to be like Jesus, thirdly, just like Jesus. Try to see people beyond their actions. We've got to. If we just see their actions and we see them, sometimes we wouldn't go on. We'd give up. We've got to see beyond that. And you may say, Don't, it's easy for you to say standing from a pulpit. Yeah, it may well be easy, but it's pretty tough, isn't it? It's pretty tough to see beyond their actions. Don't let bitterness and hatred and all these things get in the way, which it can so easily. Oh, to show compassion. How are we this morning? May we go out here feeling, Lord, I've been harboring this thing. Help me, Lord, to deal with it with your help. Oh, Lord, that I may show compassion. So what have we said? What was point number one? The what of forgiveness? The cry of forgiveness. Secondly, the what? And then thirdly, we're not done yet, the call for forgiveness. And we've got to see this because I've made this point up here that forgiveness, you know, all this, forgiving other people, and, you know, it's not an optional extra for the believer. I know I'm switching from our Lord Jesus and I'm trying to apply it to ourselves as well. You know, it's not an optional extra. The Lord expects us to forgive others. Why? Because ultimately, when we think what he's done for us and he's forgiven us, his love should drive us to want to forgive others. Surely, surely, shouldn't it, people? Damp squib, shouldn't it? Yes, absolutely. What a God. How are we doing? And sometimes I find it hard. I don't always find it easy to forgive. I don't. My wife is much better than me than that. Much better. I won't say she's brilliant. No, she's much better. I'm still learning. And then maybe we need to just say this. Who is God calling you to forgive today? Let's just pause for a moment. Think of things in your life. We're not going to rush this bit. And we're not looking at our watch and clocks. No. Doesn't exist when I'm here. But who do I need to forgive? Let's just pause. What do I need to deal with? I'm a Christian. I've been hearing about the Lord Jesus. In his darkest hour, he was willing to forgive others. What about my darkest hour? What am I doing? Who am I forgiving? Just pause. We've come in with bitterness. We're not saying we're wrong in feeling the way we do sometimes because we're being misunderstood and we've been talked about wrongly. But just pause. Who can I forgive? Even this Easter. What an Easter it would be. We'll go away, perhaps feeling I've forgiven someone or someone's forgiven me. But then ultimately, who do we look to people? Who do we look to people? Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. So I said when I was in the West Indies, boy, it's not a match. We're British. We're like this. No, we praise God. And I'm not having a go at people. You know, we can't keep but want to praise God. I know we're all different. Don't expect you all to be, you know, like me with all my E numbers in me. I've had my brekkie. You know, but praise God. We're full of Jesus, don't we? We love him, people, don't we? We love our Saviour. And then what else can we say? It's amazing. At the cross, and we know this, the ultimate picture of forgiveness is from Jesus. And he's our example. And then Jesus, what did I say? Jesus didn't speak it. He secured our salvation. That's why we're happy. We rejoice. You know, we said in the prayer meeting, was it the prayer meeting time? I'm trying to, but really, no, it was yesterday I was speaking. I was saying Good Friday and Easter time. Easter is the most important event in the Christian calendar. And if anyone wants to argue with me and come and talk with me, but you're wrong. You're wrong, right? We rejoice at Christmas time. He came. Of course we rejoice. But do you know, when we think of Easter, yes, Good Friday, what's so good about it? Well, it's good because Christ was willing to come. He was willing to die on a cross. But it's brilliant because Easter Sunday, what happened, people? He rose from the grave. And we rejoice, don't we? Hallelujah. We rejoice because we're serving a risen, glorious Saviour. What a Saviour. What a Saviour. And our Saviour secured our salvation. It's in him. But then we must see, as we are drawing towards a close, what must we see? There's a cost. There's a cost. He spoke from the cross, as we've said so many times, and paid with suffering. That was a cost. Was that cheap? No, wasn't cheap. And in fact, I'll put my next point on so you can see. It wasn't cheap. Why? Because the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, who's going to finish off? Without the shedding of blood, there is Hebrews 9:22. It may cost your pride, but it will free your heart. Praise God. So this morning, you can know the forgiveness in Jesus. You may say, I can't turn to the Lord. I don't want to be a Christian. It's for these old people like Dalton King and Rod and others. You know, no, not for me. Yeah, he's having a bashing this morning. Oh, yeah. But, you know, you can come as you are. Come as you are. Jesus accepts us just as we are, without the shedding of blood. There's no remission. There's no forgiveness. But it may cost you your pride. I remember at the age of 16, some of you know this, I went to a boys' brigade camp. I did not believe at the age 16, I did not believe a word of this. Not interested. You know what I was interested in? Football, cricket. England, West Indies beat in England, but we can't at the minute, you know, for cricket. Football. Please don't mention Leicester City afterwards. But, you know, football. I love football. Didn't believe a word of this. And I went to this camp. As you know, I've said this here so many times, I'm sure. The man said, preaching, I was in a great big marquee. And he said, you're in a tent. And he said, well, we're in a great big marquee. And he said, the more you riddle, the deeper you'll sink. He said, you're in a swamp. If you're not a Christian, he said, you're in a swamp. Well, I wasn't in a swamp. I was sitting on a chair. This preacher's going mad. But he said it the second time. He said, if you're not a Christian, you're in a swamp. Yeah, I move around. Don't be afraid. Right up to your neck, he said. He said, the more you riddle, the deeper you're going to sink. And I was really ready. Sorry, don't do this at school, but I was ready to punch him. I did. And then he said it the third time. Now, I was really ready. Please, boys, this is just an illustration. Don't punch, okay? But I really was ready when he said it the third time. If you're not a Christian, you're in a swamp, and the more you riddle, the deeper you'll sink. And, you know, I suddenly thought, what if what this guy's saying true? Can I go and live my life? Sorry if I'm off screen. Well, they've got to cope with that. You know, what if what this guy's saying is true? Could I afford not to believe what this chap is saying? Well, he went on. And I thought afterwards, I'm not going to believe any of this. Because there was then what I call emotional blackmail. You know what the preacher said? If you die without God, did I just quote it a few minutes ago? If you die without God, he says, you'll go to hell. Well, I thought, nah, absolute nonsense. I went back to my boys' brigade tent, ready for the next footy game tomorrow, for the next day. But do you know what? I was restless. Absolutely restless. I thought, if he's right, can I afford to live my life without Jesus? That was a real thing. I thought, well, I don't know. Now I'm going to go to sleep. I couldn't go to sleep. Could not go to sleep. Because I felt so in my mind, what if? Cut an incredibly long story short. I went to see the preacher. And that night, I asked the Lord into my life. Praise God. With all the ups and downs of this life I've known and we've all known, the Lord Jesus has kept me. And you know, he can keep you too. Whatever you're going through, this is our God. We love him. We really do. And you know, 16, oh, what 16, over 50, let's just say over 50 years ago. Yeah, I'm getting on. The Lord saved me. And yes, we've known ups and downs. Some of you know. Loss of my brother very suddenly. And loads of other things. But my God is keeping me. And do you know what? He'll keep you. I want to look at your face. He'll keep you. Simon. Picking on him again. I wish I knew some more names I could pick on. Oh, maybe you're pleased I don't know your name. But he'll keep you. He'll keep you, Emma and Danny and others of you. He'll keep you. And Nora, and who else do we need to say? Simon, what's your mum's name?
Elizabeth.
We had a good chat this morning. He'll keep you. Pastor Phil, if you're listening, he'll keep you, bro. He'll keep us. What a God. And how can we not say, as we're drawing towards a close, this is why we can say this morning, it may cost your pride, but it will free your heart. Don't let pride keep you away from following the Lord Jesus. And I love this, don't you? In my place, do you know that saying? In my place, condemned he stood. Seal my pardon with his blood. And what do we say, people? Hallelujah. What a saviour. Amen. Amen. And that's the question. Are you saved? Do you know and love Jesus? Don't go out, I mean it, unless you know Jesus. Unless you're truly certain that you know and love him.